You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 74 for the year-end episode for 2016. So got quite a, I don't want to say a long episode for you guys, but got enough of an episode. It's mostly related to a film review, notably Rogue One, as I mentioned last week. And then after that, I'll also have a TV show review, mostly related to, or it's entirely related to The Man in the High Castle Season 2. I will talk about it a little bit more, but it's only going to be for episodes 1 through 8, as I haven't had a chance to watch the last two episodes, but it has gotten pretty good. Both the film review and the show review will be spoilery, just so I don't really have to skirt around it, and, I figure, at least for Rogue One, most of you have already seen it, but if you haven't yet, there will be spoilers as far as what goes on. Man in the High Castle, same thing, I'll be talking about some of the events that are going on. I don't know what happens in the last two episodes that I've mentioned, so, it'll kind of be my thoughts on what I've seen so far, and then I'll go from there. Otherwise, there's no real theme for this week. It's just basically all Star Wars related. I'll talk about that. I'll have a feature review. So if you're subscribed to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/patelN01, you've already got that for this week. So I'll have that. And then otherwise, just some entertainment news, what I watched, and a You Can Relax segment. And then obviously no Star Wars profile because I will be reviewing Rogue One. And I'll talk about a couple of my favorite characters from the movie as well. So that'll be kind of a pseudo review. And then I'll dedicate this episode, actually, to Carrie Fisher, because as of the recording this episode, I guess she had suffered a heart attack on the way to Los Angeles. So, last I've heard, as of this recording, that she's doing all right. She's in stable condition, but we wish her the best and a quick and speedy recovery. So, on that note, I will jump right into it. So to start it off with a bit of news, Facebook Messenger got an update to now support video chatting with up to 6 people at a time. So if you want group chatting, then there is that now feature now available. I'm not sure if it will allow saving videos or anything like that, but as far as I know, it's a private video chat. And otherwise, that's really all I have for the tech news. There are deals going on all over the place for Christmas and New Year's, so just look out for that. I always recommend using smile.amazon.com, and of course if you use the Amazon link via Geek.io, you click on the Amazon link under the support page and replace the www with smile, and any purchases you make will help us out and also donate some money to a charity of your choice. But with that being said, I will jump into the feature review, and I don't actually remember if I did it last year or not, but this year I want to talk a little bit about the Santa Tracker and playing Christmas games online and via your desktop or mobile web browser. So what you'll do is you'll either do a Google search for Track Santa or Where is Santa, and you can easily find how many days until you can track Santa himself, and also find where he is around the world once he starts delivering his gifts. So that's still done by Google and NORAD, so definitely worth checking out. But there's also various Christmas-related games, both provided by Google and by NORAD. So there's a variety of different games, like a penguin. It's kind of like an endless runner, but more of a slider down a snow hill. You can visit Santa's village, play with different characters from within the village and things like that. So if you do a search for Track Santa, you'll get the Google link automatically in the Google Knowledge Graph, and then there'll be, the first or second link for me was a NORAD website, so they have a similar thing as well. So that's really all there is for that. It's pretty straightforward. The review's up on youtube.com/patelN01, so you can check out the video, see some of the games. It does have some pretty nifty sound effects as well, so if you want some entertaining sounds as well, there's that. The one bit of tech news that I did forget and that I'm just thinking about now is that Roller Coaster Tycoon is now available for Android and iOS. So if you remember the game on your desktop, or you can build your own amusement park, or you can build an amusement park to accomplish various goals in the game. Well, that game is now available for Android and iOS, as I mentioned. It's provided by Atari, so it is an official game. It's as far as the Android side, it's available for $5.99. I didn't have it, or I forgot to check the iOS side. I assume it's the same amount of money. So it looks like it's worth checking out. As soon as I have some money saved up, I will be buying it and giving it a shot. So that's all there is for that. So as far as some entertainment news, a Blade Runner 2049 teaser trailer was released. So if you want to get a look into the movie coming soon, I think 2017, or I assume 2017, the trailer is out now on YouTube. And then for those of you who are fans of Westworld or like the music from Westworld, the soundtrack for season one is now available for purchase. So I got my copy off of Google Play Music. I assume it's also on Amazon Music and iTunes as well. So if you want a couple of different places, I'll definitely assume it's on iTunes. No, that I haven't checked. I assume Amazon Music just for the sake of a safe assumption. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to watch MacGyver Season 1, Episode 11, McScissors, and Viking Season 4, Episode 14, In the Uncertain Hour Before the Morning. Otherwise, I did have a chance this week to finish watching Star Wars Episodes 4 through 7, so I have now not only watched the entire Star Wars series, but Rogue One as well. I did watch it in order, so... prior to watching Rogue One, I did have a chance to watch episodes 1, 2, and 3. I watched Rogue One on last Saturday, and then I watched episodes 4 through 7. So it was a fun journey, fun experience seeing the end of one era of the Republic, the build-up of the Empire, the fall of the Empire, and the replacement of the Empire, and then the kind of how both sides went about the destruction of the government they opposed. So with that, I will jump into the review itself for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So it released in the United States on December 16th, 2016. It has a runtime of 134 minutes. I had a chance to watch it in IMAX 3D. For me, it was an average experience. There were some scenes that were notably good. So mostly that's the battle scenes, some of the overviews of that final planet where the planetary shield was and things like that, but otherwise it was okay. But when we were looking at some of the sweeping views of the planets, that was where it really stood out. Summary of the movie though is that the rebellion makes a risky move to steal the plans for the Death Star, setting up the epic saga to follow. Last I checked, it was getting an IMDb rating of 83%, a Rotten Tomatoes score of 84% from the critics and 89% by the audience, so generally very well-favored. Many, many people liked it. I liked it for the most part, only a couple parts that I kind of didn't like, but it didn't actually take me away from the movie as much as I figured it would, but it is still definitely worth checking out. So with that, I will jump right into the review. So the first thing I actually really liked was the Darth Vader humor, where he talked about, where he said, "Be wary, director, not to choke on your ambitions." So he was doing his famous force choke, choking the director and telling him about his ambitions to continue to lead the Death Star. So I did particularly like that scene. It was a good, interesting plea. I did like to see, or I did finally enjoy that we get to see Vader's castle on the big screen. I know it was in the expanded universe. There was some debate as far as where it's located. Many people were saying that it's on Mustafar. I was assuming, or my memory said it was on VJUN, but I mean, it's been a while since I thought about it. So Mustafar makes sense, but we'll see what the new canon is for that. Next up though, why didn't Vader fight like that in A New Hope against Kenobi? So, in the final scenes where we have, Vader using his lightsaber to deflect blaster bolts and also using the force to grab hold of various people from the rebellion to swing them around and kill them and all that. So my thing was, why didn't he use that to his advantage in, New Hope? But thinking about it a little bit more, I figure it's maybe because Kenobi uses the Force, so he couldn't use it as effectively as he used it against non-Force users. But then again, he could have used that against Luke Skywalker, or for whatever reason, he could have done some. If Kenobi was as weak as he claimed, then he could have used that a little bit more. But it was a very cool scene. I can't actually wait to get the digital version of it, just to have that initial lightsaber on as a wallpaper. So overall good scene. Next up, with a bit of Star Wars Rebels, or Easter egg. I did hear the call for Captain, or I guess General Syndulla, but I didn't see the ghost in the movie. So I guess the ghost makes an appearance in the movie, but we don't actually see it. So I was kind of hoping to see it, but maybe a rewatch will allow me to finally see where it is in that final battle. But I figured I was just in the mix of watching the whole thing, so it was easy to miss. Next up, though, yeah, C-3PO, no one tells you anything because you talk too much. So this scene felt like it was kind of thrown in just because C-3PO and R2-D2 kind of just show up. But I did like that they were in this movie, so we do have them showing up in every single one of the Star Wars movie in varying degrees. But it seemed kind of thrown in, so maybe there's going to be a deleted scene or something like that. But I kind of wanted to see them moving around or going around the base in their own little chatter and conversation. Maybe that would have been a little bit better rather than just a single shot of them standing there and that's it. Next up, though, apparently the actual Death Star laser focusing disc is plug and play. So we get to see the dish part of the Death Star being set up with that Death Star itself. And it seemed kind of weird. I mean, if memory serves, I think there was power already to the station and they were putting the disc in place or the dish in place. And I'm assuming, or I guess we're led to assume that it's automatically just going to work. But it seems like all they had to do was plug it in like a USB drive and it's just going to work. So I don't know if that's the design, but it kind of intrigued me as far as the technology of that scene. As far as one of my favorite characters in the movie, I want to say it would go to Chirrut Imwe, the guy who was saying, "I'm one with the Force is with me." Mostly just because he is the guardian of one of the Jedi temples, but the Journal of the Wills is still a part of canon. So we learn that that's in the movie and that's a thing in the Jedi world in the Star Wars universe. So definitely worth watching, and I like that he respected his friend and that he knew that his friend would back him up no matter what and that they were basically BFFs. Next up, though, in a bit of a weird throw-in, maybe Panda Baba didn't find Luke's apology sincere, or Luke needed to walk away when he apologized. So we have Panda Baba and his friend from the Mos Eisley Cantina show up on one of the planets whose name I can't remember. And we have Jyn Erso and the captain guy walking away and just keep walking, and the other two leave them be. So maybe that's what Luke needed to do rather than give him the cold shoulder. Next up, though, I hope there are copies of the will somewhere. So when the planet planet where the Kyber crystals are being transferred away is destroyed, I got to thinking after the movie that hopefully there's another copy, or that the original writings of the Jedi were not destroyed. So just a random side thought, because we do have a lot of conversation as far as the backup of the Death Star plans, the disc that it's on, the transfer of data, and all of that stuff. Don't hit the Djarak board if you don't want to be accused of cheating. So that the animal chess game that we have on the Millennium Falcon in A New Hope makes its appearance here as well. But rather than being digital, it looked like it was an actual physical copy, or it's a better version of the game where the models are that much more realistic. But basically just reminded me of any board game, so if you don't want to be considered a cheat, then don't hit the board. And finally, as far as my second favorite character, it actually goes to the droid K2SO. And he kind of seemed like, or I kind of liked him because he seemed like R2-D2, except if he spoke Galactic Basic. So if R2-D2 could talk, I kind of figured that we would have a droid like K2SO, who's always ready to help. He might not, no one really initially wants to respect him, but they might always want his help. And he's always there to help no matter what. So overall, that's actually all I have for the review, but overall I thought it was a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it. The 85 to 90% is a pretty good rating. The only thing I kind of didn't like was that there were too many planet changes and moving back and forth. So it kind of bothered me because, like, okay, where are we now? Where are we going? Why are we jumping around this much? It didn't seem like there was enough, movement on individual planets to make me, get into that particular planet at any given time. So I kind of wanted, I was hoping that they would spend more time, but I did like that they were naming which planet we were going to or which one we were looking at, so we kind of could keep track of the story. So that was the thing I liked. And then the thing I didn't like was that they didn't actually name where Vader's castle was. So it kind of bugged me because under the assumption that we're not supposed to know where his castle is, then why is Director Krennic able to get there? Especially if Tarkin is above Krennic and Tarkin's not going himself to visit Vader. So it seemed weird that we're not told where it is, but Director Krennic can somehow go there. So why not either name the castle or have Vader meet everyone above the Death Star to begin with, or aboard his own Star Destroyer or something like that? So that's all there is for that. So I do recommend going out to see it, watching it and all that, or even renting it when it comes out. It is a very visually beautiful movie. I thought I liked the planets. I liked the beauty of it. The music was average. It was definitely not John Williams who did it. So you could kind of tell. So that kind of bugged me. But since the movie's visual effects were good, I kind of liked that as well. It worked for me. And then watching A New Hope right after also helped, but it did bother me, or the part that bothered me was that I liked the model that they used for Governor Tarkin. It didn't really throw me off when I saw him, but the part that did throw me off was oddly Princess Leia. I could tell that something was off, that whole, I guess, Uncanny Valley part of it, but I just figured, and especially watching A New Hope right after, that I could tell that there was that difference, like something was off or something happened. And I mean, not just that they were attacked by Vader and his Death Star, or in his Star Destroyer, but just something about that model was off, and I figured they should have done whatever they could to make, whatever they made to do, or whatever they had to do to make Tarkin work. I kind of wish that they would make it work here for her as well. But that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into my TV show review, which in this case is The Man in the High Castle Season 2. So the series was released on Amazon Prime on December 16th, 2016. Each episode is approximately 60 minutes. I think I want to say it's around 52 to 60 minutes, so not exactly an hour, but right around there. A summary of the series is that after giving Joe the film, Juliana is forced to flee the fury of the Resistance while embarking on a new path to save her home from destruction. Joe confronts his absent father in Berlin, who is not as he seems. Smith wrestles with what to do about his ill son. Frank takes a gamble with his life in a bid to save Ed. And Tagomi's life is turned upside down by his travel to an alternate world. Overall, I'm enjoying the season so far, mostly because we learned that the tapes are actually recorded looks into alternate timelines. So rather than the tapes being what has happened in the current universe, they're actually alternate realities where various futures could possibly happen. So it all depends on the events of what's happening right now. So that's kind of what that kind of explains why Hitler is in his own state of why he wants the films. And kind of where the Resistance is, they're more of overthrowing the government, but the importance of the Man in the High Castle himself, that he knows what's going on with the film, so that's why he wants to collect them and find out what the possible alternate realities are and how to save humanity. We also find, as far as storylines go, that Oprah Gruppenfuhrer Smith, or I'll call him Lieutenant or Captain, is now working directly for Hitler to find the tapes because it is of utmost importance. Though by the time we get to episode 8, Hitler has his, I think it was heart attack or stroke, so he has actually passed away now. So we'll see exactly how that factors in and how Smith's mission factors in now that the Fuhrer is gone. Juliana ends up leaving the Free States, or the Resistance, or the Neutral Zone, and goes into a witness protection with the Reich, but it's not to for a better life, but it's actually help the Resistance gain a way into the Reich itself to bring them down as well. We learned that Joe Blake's father is actually a high-ranking official in the German government, so he visits him in Berlin and learns about that, and that he's Lebensborn, which I guess is the Germans building a superior race of people in their hopes of taking over the planet. So we haven't really touched on too much there. That mostly is that just that Joe doesn't like it, and that he's coming to grips with it, but he's actually enjoying his stay more and more because he has found others like him as well. And finally, Trade Minister Minister Togomi, I guess he was somehow able to travel into an alternate reality where his son has married Juliana, and I guess his wife is alive, but or his daughter, I'm not sure. I think it's his wife, and that his son now has a child as well. But for whatever reason, in this alternate reality, the thing that's changed that he escaped his family for whatever shame he caused. So now he's back trying to make amends, but he's also, I guess, maybe in episodes 9 and 10, but he's trying to want to hold on to this family and not go back to his own reality. So there's a bunch of different things going on. So basically, it's coming down to a showdown between the Japanese and the Germans. And now that the Japanese have the schematic for an atom bomb, we're going to see exactly how that plays out. Episode 8 ends with the atomic bomb going off, but I'm not sure if it's in the film or not. I'll assume that it's not and say that it looks like either the Japanese plant exploded, leveling San Francisco, or the Germans dropped the bomb, so that are now trying to take over the Pacific state. So over the next week or so, I'll have the last two episodes watched, so by the next episode next year, I'll try and remember to cover that as well or provide my updates then. But overall, it's worth watching. I'm definitely enjoying the second season. I'm liking where they're going with it. They are actually straying away from the novel since most of that happened or was covered in the book. So I do recommend it. Definitely watch it in order, and it is a good series to watch, especially if you haven't tried Amazon Prime yet. You can always, I think there's still a 30-day free trial, and you can give it a shot, watch the two seasons, and see if you like it. But that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump out or talk about the You Can Relax segment, and we'll be done with this week's episode after that. So for the You Can Relax segment, I want to talk about buying wireless Bluetooth headphones. So I have been using the Samsung Level U, so that has a little bar around that goes around your neck with the headphones going in your ears. But it's not really good for working out just because that kind of bothers me. Like while I'm running, it bounces up and down, and it kind of feels like there's something that I have to itch my neck or whatever. So even though I'm not actually itching my neck, I kind of have that feeling to do that. So I ended up buying a pair that was on sale. I think it was for $30 or $40 on Amazon, so I ended up buying them. It's the ones where it's individual pieces. You connect one to your phone, and then once you do that, you can use it as its own earpiece, or you can connect the other one or turn on the other one. They'll automatically pair with each other, and you now have stereo Bluetooth headphones. There's no cords, no cables, nothing like that. The package came with a dual USB or micro USB charging, so all you need is a computer's USB port or plug it into a wall and or a USB port in the wall if it's close to or short, and they can charge independently. So overall, it's pretty good. I do like that there's no cable, so nothing to tangle, nothing to untangle. I don't have to worry about anything resting on my shoulder, so it's a little bit more freedom of movement. The battery life is okay. I want to say it lasts about 5 to 6 hours, so it lasts a couple of days, which is all right, because as long as I charge it either every night or every other night, then I'll have enough charge for a couple of workouts and a couple of just, you know, going shopping or whatever, that grocery shopping or anything like that. But if you have the funds, I do recommend buying them. This was an off-brand purchase. I think it was like AIXGO. I don't know how to say that, but I know various companies make that, so it all depends on which kinds you want, which ones rest well in your ear. These ones have the over-the-hook or over-the-ear hook design, so I like how those feel and hold to my ear, so that's why I'm recommending these. But there are many others available if you like other brands or like the prices on other brands. So I'll have a link to my write-up on that, and then it'll have a link to the ones I purchased in case you want to try those or if you want to start your search there and see what you find. But that is all for this particular episode of Life of an Accounting Droid. So that's basically it. I was going to do a review of maybe my favorite app or widget or launch or anything like that for the year, but I didn't really think too much into it. I will say that I do, as far as Android goes, if you are an Android user, I do recommend using Action Launcher with its swipes and quick cuts and theming and all that. So Overall, it's very, very full featured and functional. So, Action Launcher version 3. You can get it for free with most features, and then purchase the full version for additional features. As far as podcasting goes, I always recommend Pocket Cast. They recently just added an automatically add to Up Next. So, if there's certain podcasts that you want to add, or if you want to add all of them to your queue as soon as they are, there's new episodes, you can do that. So, you don't even have to worry about hitting play. You can. It'll continue to go one by one, and then using it with Action Launcher, that supports a quick cut. So if you slide up on the icon, you can easily go to the Up Next list and rearrange them if you want as well. Otherwise, that's really all I have in mind. I mean, as far as reading news and subscriptions, I still use Feedly for a camera on my OnePlus 3T. I actually got the settings worked out, so I'll recommend a better camera. I like the HDR mode a little bit better than the stock camera app, so I'm using that right now. But the stock camera app actually has a good video camera, especially for 4K video recording. So I'm using the stock camera app more on the video side. As far as games, I'm still playing Star Wars Commander. I haven't really had a chance to play much more into Dream Machine or Limbo, so there's still those pending. That's really about it. I mean, I started using Snapchat, but I haven't really done much there. I started following friends and things like that, but that's about it. So, if there's anything else, or I guess if you have questions about Android and things like that, you can always reach out to me. You can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at patelN01.com. You can find this episode and all episodes, on the website at patelN01.com. And of course, you can find this show and all shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. But that is all for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. I hope everyone has a happy holidays. And I will talk to you guys in a couple of weeks. And I'll keep updating this site as news articles come out and things like that. If something comes up for next week, I'll probably do a mini episode or something like that. I don't have anything currently scheduled, but if anything comes up or it seems important enough, I'll do it. Or if there's a feature or a game that I kind of like and I want to review, I'll put something up on the YouTube channel. So, and on that note, video reviews can be found on YouTube at youtube.com/patelN01. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.